Thank everyone for coming out on a cold winter night for a much needed night of chizuk. Just to let you know the program for this evening, Bez Hashem Rav Tversky will deliver divrei chizuk, followed by some tehillim. Mm-hmm. And if anyone is interested afterwards, there's refreshments, light refreshments upstairs after we finish reciting the tehillim. Just a couple of points and words of introduction to the evening and to Rav Tversky in particular. The first thing is that we felt like we needed an evening of chizuk. We felt that considering the tefillos for a good period of time now, that we've been davening with all of our hearts, sometimes after a long period of time, we need to be mechazik ourselves, and we need to feel a certain sense of strength and a certain sense of bitachon, a certain sense of emuna that will carry us forward and allow us to continue to daven with great kavana. And to that end, I just want to make a request on that everyone should just keep davening, that you shouldn't just view this as, okay, now I was inspired, but everyone should really just keep davening. Keep davening very, very hard. Keep davening with great kavana and with great sense of feeling, and Mirz Hashem, Ribbono Shalom, should hear all of our tefillos. I just want to thank Mrs. Fiedler, Mrs. Ruta Fiedler, and Mrs. Nicole Appelman for sponsoring this evening's night of chizuk. One more point: many people have asked about giving tzedakah. Obviously, we know tzedakah tatzil mimaves, and it's something that's a great suchus for someone who we daven for. If anyone has questions about where they would like to give tzedakah, they can certainly direct those questions to Seth or Dariel or myself afterwards. When looking for someone to provide chizuk for our community and for the larger community and for the Fiedler and Rabe families, we decided to look toward, we asked, our first request of Yeshiva University was to contact Rav Tversky on our behalf, because not only is Rav Tversky known as, for those of you who don't know him, I'm sure for those who know him this is just repetitive, but for those who don't know Rav Tversky and who have never been exposed to him in the past, not only is he known as an outstanding Talmud Chacham, a Rosh Yeshiva, very high caliber for many years, Rav Tversky is also known for an incredible sense of pikchus, an incredible sense of wisdom, of insight, and most of all, sensitivity. And I know in my time in Yeshiva, many of the Talmidim turned to him in times of need and in times where they needed hadracha, when they needed chizuk, and they found it to be extremely meaningful and extremely helpful. And Rav Tversky has been turned to by many communities in over the years who looked for someone who just has a certain sense of wisdom, someone who has a certain sense of an ability to capture the moment and to capture exactly where our avodah should be at a given moment. And it's therefore a great kavod for us to welcome this evening Rav Meir Tversky to deliver divrei chizuk to us.
Thank you, Rabbi Leibowitz. We should have Rabbi Meir Dasra. Yahadus, in large measure, is a religion of dialectic. Our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dialectical. We understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be simultaneously both immanent and transcendent. According to the Rashba's explanation, that's a belief that is reflected and reinforced every time we recite a bracha. We begin in the second person, Atah, addressing someone in our presence, immanent, Baruch Atah, but then we shift to the third person, HaKadosh Baruch, who is transcendent. Similarly, accordingly, we're again simultaneously intimate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and indescribably remote. There's a phrase, I think it's from Rabbi Yehuda Halevi's poetry, I don't remember. Mimcha evrach elecha. I flee from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to you. Bechira and Yediya, human free will and divine foreknowledge, is another fundamental dialectic of religious life and belief. And our religious experience is also dialectical, characterized by both simcha and yira, by both joy and fear. The Tana Dvei Eliyahu, much quoted in Sifrei Chassidus, highlights this dialectic of religious experience and says that simchasi mitoch yirasi, yirasi mitoch simchasi. My joy arises out of my fear, and my fear in turn emerges from my joy. Our approach to Yisurim, Rachman Litzlan, our approach to suffering is also dialectical. Chazal in Masechah Shabbos speak glowingly of people who are ne'elovim ve'enem olvim, shomim cheposam ve'enem meshivim, osim me'ahava usmechem b'yisurim. People who receive insult but don't respond in kind, people who are humiliated but yet keep silent, people who fulfill mitzvahs out of love, and people who rejoice at Yisurim, people who rejoice at Rachman Letzlan, suffering and adversity. Now, the first half of that dictum of Chazal is clearly referring to a bein adam l'chavero, to an interpersonal situation. The ne'alovim ve'enem olvim, the shomim chepasim ve'enem meshivim. But the second half of that dictum, the smechim b'yisurim, articulates more broadly what our approach to yisurim is. But let's take note of Chazal's phraseology. Chazal speak of Yisurim. We're not philosophizing away and reinterpreting the Yisurim. The Yisurim are very, very real. Suffering is real, and it's experienced as such. And somehow, dialectically, it's possible to rejoice while simultaneously experiencing Yisurim for what they are. So let's try a little bit to understand this dialectic of Smechem b'Yisurim. Yisurim, physical and or emotional, Rachman Litzlan, are painful and at times very, very painful. The pain is accompanied by a sense of helplessness and fear. And yet, Chazal, without denying or even downplaying an iota the reality of this experience, speak of simcha. Fear can give way to simcha. How is that possible? How can a person simultaneously suffer and also rejoice? So the Chofetz Chaim explains. Mida zo ba'a la'odam mitzad kedushas hanefesh u'me emunasa ha-tahora b'Hashem shehu mashkiach al kol derachav. This quality, this ability, this capacity to be sameach, to rejoice, or perhaps better translated, there's even an element of serenity while simultaneously being in the throes of Yisurim. This comes from the holiness of a person's neshama and pure belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exercising His providence over everything that's happening. Kemosha Kosuv, quoting a pasuk in Sefer Iyov, Ki einav al kol darkei ish. The eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are on the ways, all the ways of a person. Ve'osa hakol letovasa. And everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is done for our good. He continues, he quotes another Chazal, Tzarech ha'odam lihiyos sameach b'yisurin yosem en hatova. The challenge, we're challenged to be sameach, to rejoice at yisurin more so than at what we experience as good. She'afilu ha'odam b'tova kol yomav, if a person coasts through life on calm waters, lo nimchalu lo ka'avonu shebiyado. There's no atonement has been provided. Ubamen nimchalo biyisurin. The Chafetz Chaim says, to paraphrase, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom is infinite, and as a result, His will at times is going to be inscrutable to us. Mi yishalev umi yisyasar, for whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees tranquility, umi yisyasar, and for whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees suffering, is not given to our meager understanding. But what we do know with absolute certainty, as the Pasuk says, Eis asher yoav Hashem yochiach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebukes one whom He loves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chastises those whom He loves. Yisurim are designed to arouse us to tshuva. They serve as a source of kapara. There is a medrash to which the Ramban alludes in Shar HaGemul, in Vayikra Rabbah. The medrash, working off the pasuk in Sefer Yeshayahu, the medrash says as follows: La'asid lavo. Tzadikim yotzin mitoch Gan Eden. The righteous come out of Gan Eden, and noslin shavach v'hodol HaKadosh Baruch Hu al ha'yisurin shehevi aleim ba'olam hazeh. La'asid lavo, tzadikim come out of Gan Eden, and they give praise and thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the suffering which they endured during their sojourn in Olam Hazeh. Hadohu dechsev, and that's what the Pasuk in Yeshayahu is referring to, Va'amata bayom hahu, you will say on that day, Odcha Hashem, I thank you Hashem, ki anafta bi, that you were angry with me. And thus, dialectically, we weep, and rejoice simultaneously. We cry out of pain. We also cry at the need for such bitter medicine. And yet, we can't lose sight of the fact that Yisurim express HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us, and for that reason, they also invite Simcha. The Moshel, perhaps, when a parent hugs and kisses his or her child, there's an expression of love. But when circumstances dictate, circumstances that may not be known or intelligible to the child, but when circumstances dictate and parents have to administer foul-tasting medicine, they're also acting out of love. Arguably, the parent's love is even greater when giving the medicine, its bitter taste notwithstanding. And thus, if only the child is able to attain and maintain that perspective, the child can rejoice over his parents' love while simultaneously feeling the reality of the illness and the medicine. I don't mean for a moment to suggest that this reaction, this dialectical reaction of smechem b'yisurim, comes easily. It obviously doesn't. And yet, even while we strive to feel and experience that simcha, even before we reach a madrega where we can feel it, we need to at least know that there's cause for simcha. Everything that we've been discussing, notwithstanding, Yisurim remain a very real nisayon. Perhaps the greatest nisayon to which a person is subjected, one of the greatest. To maintain perspective amidst suffering is never easy. Not to be overwhelmed by fear or despair is also not easy. But there's a very, very important yesod which needs to accompany us throughout life. And that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never ever subjects a person to nisyonos that he or she cannot handle. Every nisayon to which a person is subjected indicates that the person has the kochos hanefesh to deal with that nisayon. And if the nisayon is great, if the nisayon is very, very great, so what that attests to is that that person, those people, have very deep wellsprings of emunah from which to draw. When we're profoundly challenged, it means that we're capable of profoundly responding. Now, there's also an additional dimension of dialectic in our approach to Yisurim, besides the Smechem B'Yisurim. On the one hand, as we've been discussing, the Medrash explains, again, that dialectically, Yisurim are a gift, even an indispensable gift, at which we strive to rejoice. And yet, Chazal tell us in Masechet Brachos that when Rabbi Yochanan was sick, he was asked, Chavivan Alecha Yisurim? Do you cherish, do you welcome the Yisurim? If you had your druthers, would you continue having to contend with the Yisurim? Or would you prefer to be healed? So Rabbi Yochanan responds, Lohein Veloschan. Says, I don't welcome them, nor do I welcome the reward which continued Yisurim will afford me. So how do we understand this element of dialectic? On the one hand, the gift, Odcha Hashem ki anaftavi, I thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you were angry with me. And on the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan says, Lo hein v'lo schar. So the answer is that Yisurim are indeed a precious and indispensable gift, but only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu deems it absolutely necessary. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept our tefillah, our tshuva, our tzedakah, as Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned, instead, so then we have no need for, and therefore we want no part of Yisurim. Which is why, again, the smechem b'Yisurim, notwithstanding, when confronted with Yisurim, looking at the present and at the past is Odcha Hashem ki anaftavi. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the gift. But looking forward, we move forward with an attitude of Lohein v'lo scharan. We look to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept our tefillah, our tshuva, our tzedakah, that they shouldn't be absolutely necessary. And if they're not absolutely necessary, so then we want no part of the Yisurim. So permit me perhaps to share one or two insights into tefillah and one into tshuva. In Maseches Tainis we learn that on a tonis, one goes out to the Beis Olam, one goes out to the cemetery. One of the explanations provided for this practice is that the Mesim Yivakshu Aleinu Rachamim, that those who have already departed this world should pray on our behalf, they should intercede on our behalf. So the question is, why is this not only a legitimate practice, a practice which is encouraged, which is mandated, and davening to Malachim is something which the Rambam and many other authorities not only reject, but even condemn? What's the difference between going out to the cemetery and davening, and between addressing oneself to Malachim? So the Maharal, somewhat cryptically, explains as follows. Maharal says, the Mason, according to this explanation, it's a Jewish cemetery that we're going to. The Mason are Ohavei Yisrael. They love their fellow Jews. And when we go out to the cemetery, Maharal says again, somewhat cryptically, the Mason, those who have already departed, are Mischabrim El Hachayim. There is some connection that's forged, there's some connection that's made, and then they daven. So how did he exactly explain how this is to be distinguished from davening to Malachim? So the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva where he amplifies what the Maharal means. And he says that according to this approach in the Maharal, Chassam Sofer says something strikingly beautiful. He says, there's really no such thing as davening for someone else. There's no such thing. What do you mean there's no such thing as davening for someone else? Don't we do it all the time? Aren't we asked to do it all the time? According to this approach, the Maharal says there's no such thing as davening for someone else, as the Chassam Sofer. Rather, what happens is, when we go out to the cemetery, the sense of empathy that exists means that the Mesim then feel our tza'ar. And it's only once a person shares in the tzar, it's only once a person shares in the pain, then a person can daven. But there's no such thing, according to this approach in the Maharal, we don't daven for someone else. We daven after we share, after we empathetically share the pain, share the tzar, then we can daven. Malachim are incapable of that empathy. Malachim would be davening for us if they're capable of it. So that already would mean that they'd be acting as intermediaries. There's no such thing in Yahadus. But again, whether it's the cemetery or Lahavdil, Lahavdil, Nibodo Lachayim, or when we're approached to daven, so we're not davening for someone else. We're davening because we share in the tza'ar because of the sense of empathy. Another observation about tefillah. The Navi Yeshayo says, it's the Haftorah for Shabbos Chazon, when he's describing just how upset Kaviyochel, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was at that point with Klal Yisrael. So the Navi Yeshayo says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu repeats the following in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Gam ki sarbu sfila eineni shomea. Even though you engage in riboy tefila, even though you daven again and again and again, even then I won't listen. So what's reflected here, and which is discussed in different Sfarim, and Chazal emphasize it as well, that clearly the point is that ordinarily there's a tremendous koach, there's a tremendous power and potency in Riboy Tefillah. And it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I heard you once, I'm either going to listen or I'm not going to listen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that tefillah should be repeated again and again and again. Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu davened tefillahs k'minyan v'aschanan, that Moshe Rabbeinu davened the numerical equivalent of the word v'aschanan over 500 times. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that his palal v'lo nana, if a person davens and he wasn't answered, or at least wasn't answered on a level that we can perceive, on a level that we can understand, that we recognize, Svarim say that there's no such thing as a tefillah which is not answered at all. But some tefillahs are answered on levels that we can relate to, that we can understand, and other tefillahs are answered on levels that we can't relate to, that we can't understand. But if a person can't recognize, it's not on a level that one can recognize that the tefillah was answered. So what is a person supposed to do? Mishe espalav lo nana sechazal yachsov yispalav. A person is supposed to daven again because of this, again, fundamental idea of riboy tefillah. The moshal is as follows. Let's say you have a person has to. Is trying to knock down a door. Rachman Litzlan, a child is locked in a room. There's no key, and you have to knock down the door. So the person is running and throwing his shoulder against the door time after time after time. And then finally, on the 20th attempt, so then all of a sudden, so the door gives way. So what does that mean, that the first 19 attempts failed and the 20th attempt was successful? No, it means that the first 19 imperceptibly we're weakening the door, weakening, and the 20th represented the cumulative effect. Riboy Tefillah. And Riboy Tefillah, again, there's no such thing of one Tefillah, and certainly Riboy Tefillah, there's no such thing as Tefillah which goes unanswered. This Tefillah which sometimes goes unanswered on a level that we can perceive, there's no such thing as tefillah which goes unanswered on some higher level. And finally, just wanted to share one comment about tshuva. Chazal say in Maseches Brachos that if Yisurim come upon a person, and again, speaking with the Maharal and Chassam Sof, a sense of empathy, come upon people. So yimashmesh b'masov, yifashmesh b'masov. A person should scrutinize his or her actions. What's the double phrase yimashmesh, yifashmesh? So Mesillas Yesharim says that we should make two inventories. One inventory is of our mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, to see what within our mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim can be improved. And the other inventory is to look at our actions as a whole and see that maybe there are some actions which aren't necessarily good. Maybe there are some foci in our life. Maybe there are some centers of gravity in our life which are not entirely appropriate. But how do I know, if I'm engaging in that cheshbon nefesh, how do I know whether I came up with the right answer? So, yisurin ba'analav, a person is memashpesh, a person is mefashpesh, a person engages in a very real cheshbon nefesh, engages in soul searching, but how do I know whether or not I came up with the answer? So the answer to that is that as long as a person is religiously healthy, as long as a person is not unfair to himself, is not beating himself up, there's no wrong answers. Moshe l'mad avadome. Let's say a person has a problem with his knee. So he goes to the doctor. The doctor takes tests, does an MRI, and discovers that he has water in his knee, which could be accounting for the symptoms that he's been experiencing. Does the doctor know that this is the answer? He doesn't know whether this is the answer. He doesn't have to know that this is the answer, but it's not a wrong answer. When we engage in Cheshbon HaNefesh, as long as that Cheshbon HaNefesh is carried out in a healthy way, again, a person is not being unfair to himself, to herself, in engaging in that Cheshbon HaNefesh. It's a fair, sound Cheshbon HaNefesh. So no, we don't have an Urim V'Tumim to tell us that this is the Behei HaYadiyah, this is the item that we were supposed to discover. But there are no wrong answers. If the doctor finds water in the knee, if he finds a problem with the cartilage, so maybe that is accounting for everything. Maybe it's not accounting for everything. But it's clearly not a wrong answer. And clearly, one is not being... one's energies are not being diverted to attend to that issue. The same is true when we make a Cheshbon HaNefesh. Is it the answer? Who knows? But what we uncover is an answer. It's not a wrong answer. And that's what we need to know. We don't have to know that it's the answer. We need to know that it's an answer. And it's something that, again, points us to how we can grow, how we can improve, how we can do tshuva. Chazal tells us, the Pasuk tells us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is especially close to Nishbere Leif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is especially close to those who reach out to him with a broken heart. Too often, we sort of have an illusion of being able to take care of ourselves autonomously, independently, of being able to stand on our own two feet. But it's always an illusion. It's never true. A person never takes care of himself. A person never stands on his own two feet. A person is always totally and absolutely dependent upon the Ribono Shel Olam. Nishbere Lev, when we reach that state, realize that. Realize that dependence, that absolute, complete dependence, which is always true. Ribono Shel Olam should give the entire Kehillah the strength to recognize the Nishbere Lev, the ability to be Smechem B'Yisurim, and ultimately to reach the stage of Lohein V'lo Scharon, where the Tefillah and the Tshuva are accepted and make the Yisurim unnecessary.
We're going to set up the mechitza now for Tehillim. thank Rabbi Twersky very much for coming out and providing us with Divrei Chizuk. We don't have the Sidurim have Tehillim in the back. We just don't want a mad rush to the Sidurim, so maybe a couple of women and a couple of men just come and grab a bunch of Sidurim and help distribute the Sidurim. It would be very much appreciated.